Today's devotional, it's just a few encouraging verses from the Bible as we are running this race and as we are continuing this journey. So as being faithful and being Christians, how are we supposed to run this race? And a few examples from the Bible by seeing them, right? Bible, it tells us, it encourages us. Same time, it stops. It restricts us not to do certain things. Few biblical characters, people, very faithfully, they journeyed and they reach the destination. So when we look onto them, then that should definitely encourage us. Yeah. Ephesians, first chapter, second verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. I highlighted the word faithful in Christ. We'll just have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord, to come to your feet and to learn from you, Lord. Lord, give us grace to meditate these verses, Father. Lord, open our eyes and help us to treasure all these things in our heart and apply to our lives. And Lord, help us to please you, Father, to bring glory to your name. I ask all these things in the mighty name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is by Paul to Ephesus Church. He's addressing to saints who are in Christ and also faithful in Christ Jesus. If we look at the Ephesians, Christians at the Ephesus Church, this is the temple Diana Optimus. This is a very magnificent. Also, it is gigantic, very big. If you see the pillars, right? This is located, this is one of the seven wonders of the world, ancient times, not now. So one of the wonders of the world. So this God, I'm highlighting here, it's got all these pillars. They have 127 pillars of 60 feet height. And so it is a 425 feet length, 220 width. So they constructed very nicely. This is for the goddess of fertility. So Diana, Temple Diana, also they call Artemis. So a lot of business is going on there. This is primarily place for the idol worship. A lot of people, they come, a lot of people, they do business by selling the things to the goddess. So however, Paul, as part of the third missionary journey, he went there and spent 2 years' time there. All the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia. So this is the business commercial capital during the time. All the Jews and Greeks who were there in Ephesus, that city, they heard the word of the Lord by using this Paul's ministry there. So he spent almost 2 years there. Due to the Paul's faithful ministry, people that believed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesus primarily is a prime site for evangelizing the whole province due to the city's accessibility. Since it is a harbor city, all the roads connected to the Ephesus. So many people, they come and go. So Paul and his team got the opportunity to evangelize the people there in the Ephesus. It was in Ephesus that Paul and his companions were taken into massive amphitheater. It's not only for the temple, it's even the amphitheater located in Ephesus can occupy 50,000 people at a time. So it is famous for amphitheater also. From Acts 19:23, we could see Demetrius is the silver myth. He went there and called all the people because everyone, right, they are converting into Christianity. So he mobilized all the peoples. Then they shout continuously, it seems, 2 hours, saying that great is the Artemis of the Ephesians. That is the situation, because if all the peoples are converting to Christianity, it will impact their business primarily. It's not, it looks like it is most of the people, not only in and around the province of Asia, whole world, right? They used to come there because she is goddess of fertility. If you go and worship her, right? Sons and daughters. That is their belief. However, because it is kind of threatening to them, they started that and they created this by shouting 2 hours, right? Great is the Artemis of Artemis, just there shouting to her. Despite the strong objections to the gospel, many Ephesians came to faith in Christ through faithful ministry of Paul and his companions. That is the backdrop. So using that, Paul is addressing Ephesians church, Christians at Ephesus, saying that faithful in Christ, they are saints and also very faithful because of the situation, how they converted from idol worship to Christianity. And then a church began there by Paul, and a few years later, Paul wrote to them this letter and calling them as faithful in Christ. That is just a little backdrop about Ephesus, city of Ephesus. Ephesians, perhaps it is the most spiritual letter addressed by written by Paul, comparing with Galatians or Corinthians. For Galatians, he addresses, "O foolish Galatians, how bewitched you are." Some kind of very strong statements used even for other churches. Like Corinthians also, right? He says, "Still you people are drinking milk, not at the level of meat." So because of their spiritual state, Paul is, he wanted to reveal more deeper things about our Lord to them. That's why he's writing this letter and addressing them as faithful in Christ. It is no doubt very good church and also wonderful church, nothing to correct them. So Paul was able to share many good things, many things, spiritual things, that which he cannot share with other churches, as I mentioned, with Galatians or Corinthians. We can receive only according to the spiritual growth. God gives many things to us. He reveals a lot of things. God desires all his expectation. God desires all we need to know more and more about him and more deeper things about God. Also, he wanted us like his son. God is faithful. Bible says so many verses are there. Even Lamentation 3:23. It says, there is no end for his mercies, and his mercies are new every day morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And also 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, he is faithful and he has given us a fellowship in his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful and calling all of us to be faithful, because primarily he has given us the divine nature, the way how he is faithful. He is expecting even us, all the Christians, all the followers of Christ, to be like him. The way how he is faithful, we must be faithful in all the things. We will, in all the things means definitely we'll touch base what all those things. And also, primarily 8:29 of Romans, it says, conforming to the image of his son, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, the way how he lived, how he shown that faithfulness to Father, everything like his son, he wants us to be. Also, basically the word pistos, that is for the faithful, the word pistos, that is, that gives two different meanings. One is believing in God, or the other meaning is faithful, and also reliable or trustworthy. Somebody says something, right? He is depending on that, and if he is doing that one right, faithfully, then we can call it as pistos. That is a Greek word. Also, we'll meet it very shortly about nature of faithful Christians by taking 4 to 5 characters from the Bible, by observing them, this kind of case studies. So just by seeing and studying some of the verses in the Bible, now we will come to know what kind of nature they have. That's why they call faithful Christians. Also, what is the need for faithful Christians? So faithful in devotion to God, early church, early first century church, they used to meet daily in the houses or in the church, right? They used to meet and then worship the God. We have the verse here, Acts 2:42. Their job is to continue steadfastly in apostle doctrines, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And also that made new people to join the church daily. So that is the devotion they had in the church. And also not only about the devotion to God, it's about the duty of God. When we are doing certain ministries, how faithful we are doing, how faithfulness we are showing to God. It's not to the people there in the church, but to the God. Just few points will touch base. The nature of faithful Christians, basically nothing but primarily they believe in the power of God, because Bible says in Hebrews 1:1, he upholds all the things by the power of God. You know that certain things, right? All the cosmic things, all the world in the universe, we believe that he is upholding all the things, the word of the power of word, that is amazing. Then you will have that fear in your mind. He's not ordinary and he's and do a lot of things. So primarily the faithful Christians, they believe in the power of God. And also they have fear to God. Because they know about him, how powerful he is, how almighty he is. That's why they will have fear to God. Also, they listen to God always. And also, whatever they listen, right, they show obedience to God's word. One of the examples from Bible, Moses, when Moses married Zipporah, she is a Cushite Ethiopian woman. When Moses married Zipporah, there was some kind of small argument between among Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. So that is because of Ethiopian woman. So their Bible says in Numbers 12:2, humble and meek, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. That is the testimony. God himself, right, he says in 12:7 Numbers, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Speak with him face to face. That is the greatest privilege what Moses had. Speaking directly with the God face to face, even plainly, not in dark sayings. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid? Speak against my servant Moses. When Miriam and Aaron complaining against Moses, God called them to the tabernacle, and then he is warning them and kind of he's saying, giving the testimony about Moses, how faithful he is. Not only there in Numbers, even in the Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's son daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. But he looked to the reward. He knows what kind of importance he has to give to the royal things and also to God. That's why he forsaken everything, being a royal child, being a person grown up in the royal palace. He left everything and goes to the Midian wilderness. He spent there 40 years, and then God fully trained him. Then because of that obedience, God given the accountability, the great responsibility to Moses to redeem Israelites from Egypt to the promised land. So that kind of testimony Moses is carrying. God himself is saying he is faithful in all my house. Not only Moses, Job if you take, right, now we have Bible, so many versions of Bible we have. In the time of Job, there is no Bible. But if you see Job 1:1, says he feared to God, he is blameless, upright, shunned the evil. He was very fearful to God. That's why despite of all the situations, difficult situations, though his body is decaying, though his wife saying that, why don't you curse God and die? And also his friends also almost there against him. Sons and daughters, they died. Very pathetic situation. Even in that situation, Job 23:11, it says, my feet have followed in his tracks. I have kept his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. This is the faithfulness what Job is showing to God. How amazing it is. We need the people like Moses and Job. These two are biblical characters from Old Testament. Also, Hananiah. This is from Nehemiah. Even the Hananiah, after constructing the Jerusalem walls, he is giving that responsibility to Hanani and also Hananiah. Nehemiah 7:2 says that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother. He is the blood relative to Nehemiah, Hanani. There is a Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, nothing but is the leader to the fortress. He was a faithful man, feared to God more than men. That is a testimony what Hananiah is carrying. That is the reason Nehemiah is giving that responsibility, accountability to watch over the walls of Jerusalem and also to the gates. It's not easy to enter into the Jerusalem without their permission. They got that power from Nehemiah. So the testimony what he is carrying from Nehemiah is amazing. Once again, here, that is due to the hearing God. Of God. And from New Testament, if you see Lydia, we all know about Lydia, 16:15 of Acts, it says, when she and her household were baptized, they got baptized in Philippi after listening to the Paul's message. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house, stay. So she persuaded us. So this is to Paul and Silas. After she baptized there, he's requesting, she's asking, Paul and Silas, his companions, right, to come and stay with her. Because you all know that how faithful I am after believing in Christ. Faithful in Christ. Once we believe in Christ, all our attitude will get changed. I have few examples in the coming slides. I'll just show how it will turn people into faithful after believing in Christ. And then Silvanus. Silvanus also is nothing but Silas. 1 Peter 5:12 says, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which we stand. This is the testimony carrying by Silas from Peter. Most of the time, Silas spent time with Peter. Paul. But both Paul and Peter, right, they are giving the testimony about Silas, about the faithfulness of Silvanus. So he spent most of the time in Jerusalem and also wherever Paul goes, right, Philippi or everywhere he went along with the Paul. So the beauty of Silvanus and Paul here, when they were in Philippi, they were beaten and arrested. They were kept in the jail. That time during the, despite of the situations and bad circumstances, they kept in the prison. Both are Roman citizens. During that time, midnight time, right, they are singing songs, hymns. How amazing it is. If somebody else, right, they're thinking about why these people kept us in prison. And differently, they'll be calculating a lot of things or arguing or consulting their lawyers. I don't know that time whether lawyers are there. But somehow, right, they'll be doing a lot of other things. But irrespective of things, Paul and Silas, they know very well of God. So that's the reason they're singing. In the pro-jail prisoners, right, they're listening those songs. The result is the jailer himself, right, he came to Christ. He believed in Christ. If they would have argued and if they are do something right, apart from singing songs or praising God, no way that jailer can come to them. They will not get Christ. So that's why in respect of our situations, whether they are tough or happy situations, they are faithful to our God and praising and depending on Him. Other people, by seeing us, by seeing our lifestyle, they come to our Lord. That is a great testimony what Paul and Silas is carrying from Bible Acts and 1 Peter. And this one I wanted to highlight about Onesimus, Colossians 4:7. It says, Tychias, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make you known to you all things which are happening here. So this is the testimony about Onesimus from Paul, Apostle Paul. He's saying faithful and beloved brother. You see his backdrop about Onesimus. He is fugitive, slave. He robbed Philemon. Philemon, his master, he robbed him and then he ran away from Colossae, from that place to different area. Somehow he met, Onesimus met Paul in jail and then he believed Christ and then completely a slave turning into a brother. So we can see, and then not only turning into brother, he is very faithful. And Paul is saying that he is believed. With that, he is beloved brother. So with that, Onesimus and Tychias, he is giving the letter of Colossae, whatever the letter he has written to Colossae church, he is giving that one, and also Philemon a letter. Both the letters he has given them and asking them to go and give to Colossian church, and also to Philemon. So how amazing it is. The moment Philemon, he sees the Onesimus, he thinks that he wronged me and coming back with this letter. So how that? Yet the greatness of Philemon, right? Since he is honoring Paul, whatever Paul he has written, honored and considered him and joined him as his brother. No more a slave, his brother to Philemon. So that is a complete transformation after believing in Christ. Once upon a time, he was slave, now his brother. Not only thief, he's now being a beloved brother and he's helping the Colossian church there. That is amazing. That is a testimony about Onesimus and also Tychias. Philemon 11, it says, who once was unprofitable. Some of the versions, it says useless. So now, once he was useless and unprofitable, now he is profitable to you and to me. This is the words from Paul to Philemon. And I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. That is a testimony once again about Philemon. So one more church about faithfulness. Persecuted church is nothing but us. Purna, Revelation 2:10 says, do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. I will give you crown of life. Church of Sparma, it is a very good church, like Philadelphia, out of 7 churches. So only thing, right, it is a suffering church, persecuted church, was facing a lot of tribulation at the time. God was happy because Sparma, this is the church, it was faithful to him amidst the tribulation. God loves his people and permits them to a certain extent to face tribulation, whatever, how much they can bear, to such extent to face the tribulation, that is to purify them. So that kind of thing he allowed for the Sparna church, that made Sparna church to be rich. So he knows that you people are going to, some people in your church, they are going kept in the prison. Also, timelines also he is giving. 10 days they will be there in jail. So all those things said, but still be faithful until death. So I will give you the sign up. That is the reward he is giving to the Sparna church. But the here assurance is be faithful, whatever the circumstances, though they are troubling you, they are keeping you in prison, don't take all those things into your heart, but be faithful. That is the one of the testimony that God is giving to the Sparna church. I'd like to highlight, apart from the Bible, one of the historians, this has happened in 15th century, almost 1555. His name is John Hooper. So this happened under the rule of Queen Mary in 1555. What they did is, John Hooper is a very fine Christian. So during the Reformation days, Martin Luther time, so that time he was completely strict to the Protestant Reformation, and then Ephesians 2:5, justification by faith alone. He was believing that and teaching all those things. But somehow, as long as King Edward IV, he was there, he was fine. But once he died and Queen Mary taken over, they removed him from that position, and then they put her, she put her burning to death, burning fire. So the words he used, some of the things, burnt alive in 1555, struggle started after Queen Mary taken over. John Hooper's unwavering stance and bravery in the face of persecution inspired us not to back down, and powerful people challenge our faith. So that great thing, right, when they are doing that burning thing, right, there was one elder person, he was saying that life is very sweet, death is bitter. After hearing those words, he was praying inside John Hooper. And then he immediately replied, saying back that life, a new life that is more sweeter, another death that is more bitter. Because he knows what is that new life and new another death. The other person, elder person, may not be knowing, you know, there are 7,000 whatever the church he was attending, there were 7,000 believers there only watching that burning thing there. So that is a statement he used, and then he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my soul, and then he died because of the burning. So that is the faithfulness. He did not move away from Ephesians to a justification, right? He was very much stick to that Protestant Reformation. It cost his life. Faithful servant, there is one more I wanted to quickly read. This is in the Matthew 24. So here the owner, he says, Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. It's nothing but both faithful servant and evil servant. When master, he says, do something, he's faithfully doing, other servant, right, he thinks that owner is not here, he went away. He started enjoying by drinking and spending time with that. The moment master comes back, right, he sees the blessed servant is doing the things faithfully. This is during the second, this is complete Matthew 24 about second coming of Christ. Then our Christ come, when our Lord comes back, he sees how faithful we are, how blameless and holy we are. So if we are doing all the things, whatever he is doing faithfully, right, then we will be at the certificate. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is our expectation. When we do faithfully all the things, whatever God has asked us to do. So we all, as a conclusion, we all want to think ourselves as faithful, but sometimes we fail in different times and different ways. Remember 5:22 of Galatians, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There is faithfulness. It's one of the delicious flavors in that spirit of the fruit. When we have that spirit of the fruit, right, When we fill with the spirit, we will have that automatically and automatically, like how Onesimus, he was faithful and beloved. Same thing we can show that. Whatever the situation and condition, circumstance and position, this is a thing. Be faithful until that will give you the power of the Lord. Make his name.